I've discovered something, especially the older I get. Are you ready for this? I've discovered something the older I get. I prefer dimly lit mirrors. Think about that. You say, why? Because I look better to myself in dimly lit mirrors. So, I mean, sometimes you ever come up to a mirror that's real bright and like, wow, man, that's pretty bad. Why is that? Because the brighter the light around the mirror, the more flaws that it shows, right? Age spots. I think the dermatologist called them wisdom spots, wasn't it? You got more and more of those wisdom spots. You got more wrinkles. You got more gray hair. I even got a scar on my chin. It ended my acting career. I was going to be rich and famous, but I had a drunk hot driver hit me, and I have his scar right here on my chin. The bright light, you know, I can see that more clearly. And any flaws that we have, and as humans, the older we get, that's pretty much true, right? I mean, how many of y'all kind of see that point? You said, preacher, I don't agree with that. I get better looking all the time. Well, if you think that, just keep on believing it. But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Now, for us, if it gets brighter, it shows the flaws. But the brighter the light on Jesus, the more the focus on Jesus, the more we look at him closer and closer, guess what? He just gets better and better. I mean, Jesus is perfect. Jesus is all that we need. Jesus is our Savior. He's done exactly what we need him to do, and it's because of him that we have eternal life. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a good look at Jesus for 2024. A good look at Jesus for 2024. Now, you might say, why would we want to look at Jesus? Well, because do you know what the Bible says in Romans 8, verses 28 and 29? Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. I'll start. This is not my text, but I want to just share this with you. Why would we want to look at Jesus in particular? Well, for one thing, it shows his perfection and shows him greater and greater in our hearts and in our lives. But guess what? This verse says that we're supposed to be more and more like Jesus. So if I know what Jesus is like, I know what my goal is. I know what my aim is. And notice what it says in Romans 8, 28 and 29. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's a great promise, right? We rely on that all the time. But notice the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, that's talking about God, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, we that know Jesus as Savior, God has a plan for us. And that plan is for us to be more and more in the image of Jesus. Now, it's not physically necessarily that we look like Jesus like he did on this earth. It's like in everything we do, everything we say, in the lives that we live, in the relationships that we possess, all of those things, we're supposed to look more and more like Jesus. So tonight we're going to look at Jesus in three verses. Now, I know a gazillion things could be said. I think it's Luke that said, you know, we can't even write all the things that we could say about Jesus and about his ministry on earth. But we're going to look at a little bit of the time of Jesus' ministry. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23, 24, and 25. So Matthew chapter 4. We're back to our series on the book of Matthew, okay? However God leaves us there, we'll keep going back to it some. It may be a Sunday night series, actually. Maybe doing something else on Sunday morning if I'm getting the signal from God right on what we need to be looking at. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, now, Jesus has just called four of his disciples. Now, to make sure you're awake, alert, and enthusiastic, can someone tell me the four that Jesus called that were fishermen that he called to be apostles? Can someone tell me who they were? Andrew, you got it. You blew my brain when you said, I always put Peter and Andrew together and James and John together. So you split them up, but you still got them right. So those four, he just called them into ministry, called them to be apostles. And I almost, because I did read this, I think, in the last message, but I didn't really say a whole lot about it. I almost jumped down to the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. I almost went to those. Her Sunday school teacher used to call it beautides. That's why I can't get it out of my brain whenever I look at that. I almost went to that, and God backed me up a little bit and said, no. I want you to look at these three verses. So, tonight, a good look at Jesus for 2024. So it should help us in 2024. Listen to this. Chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Verse 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now, what do you think God has for us tonight? As we take a good look at Jesus for 2024, point number one, and this may amaze you, don't fall out of your seat. I only have 2 points. From a preacher that sometimes has who knows how many points, I only got 2 tonight. Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. Now, verse 23, the first part in particular, notice, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Galilee is the northern section or region of Israel around the Sea of Galilee. Can you kind of picture that in your brain when you looked at your Bible maps in the back of your Bible? Now, Galilee is the region just north of the region of Samaria in Israel. Now, at this point and throughout Jesus' ministry, he focused on the Jews. You know, the offer of salvation as the Messiah to the Jews. Now, the Jews rejected Jesus. God knew all about this. It didn't take him by surprise. But remember when Jesus in the triumphal entry cried over Jerusalem and basically said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if you only knew what was offered to you, but you rejected it." You see, Israel rejected the offer of the Messiah, of the Savior. And guess what? Because the Jews rejected, the offer of salvation was open to Gentiles. That's pretty good news for us, actually, because we are Gentiles, okay? So he is focusing on the Jews at this point, but notice that as he went through all Galilee, he had a focus on what God wanted him to do. And you know what that focus was? To proclaim the gospel. Now the gospel had not been fulfilled. Jesus had not died on the cross, had not resurrected, but he was teaching that I am the Messiah. The Messiah is here. And he taught his disciples quite often, even though they missed it, the closest disciples that he had. And we can assume that the four that he just called were with him at this point. They missed the point that Jesus said, I'm going to die as a ransom, as a substitute, as a sacrifice for the sins of the people, and then resurrect again. And they kind of were deaf, dumb, and stupid about that and really didn't pick up on it much at all. But he was preaching the gospel, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says he was teaching it, and it says he was preaching it everywhere he went in Galilee. You know, for you and I today, do you know our Galilee? I don't live in Galilee. You don't live in Galilee. But you know what? Our all, I like it, as I looked at this passage, there's a lot of alls in there. Jesus went about all Galilee, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And it says, and they brought into him all sick people. But you know, our area today, it's all the world. That's where we really kind of lose sight of this. And I think we could do a whole lot better job. I could do a better job as your pastor. I think our church could do a better job. Our mission field is all the world. You know, I may not go to all the world. You know, Jason's major right now in Bible college is missions. I mean, who knows where God may call him? And I want him to go wherever God wants him to go. There's a lot of missions in our country. There's missions all around us. So who knows what God will call him to. But he could be called to the far recesses of the world. And guess whose responsibility it is to make sure that the gospel is preached to the whole world? It's our responsibility. If the local church doesn't do it, who in the world's going to do it? And I've talked to some people through my years of ministry. It seems like they want to emphasize one or the other. Well, we're a local missions kind of people. Well, that's great. But we also need to be a worldwide mission kind of people. And I'm sure there's some, you know, that say, well, we're worldwide missions. Well, that's great. But you also need to be local missions and local missionaries because we have the responsibility of both. Now, in the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, you can turn there if you like, or the verses will appear on the monitor here in a minute. But in Matthew 28, it says that Jesus again went through all Galilee, but guess what? Our mission field is all the world. Listen, Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Now, this is after Jesus has already died on the cross. He's resurrected back to life. He's shown himself to his disciples, and he's about ready to ascend back to heaven, okay? It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, that's almost like mind-blowing that some could still be doubting at this point. Of the 11, there were still some doubts in there. Like, wow. They weren't perfect people, folks. So don't let your lack of perfection stop you from serving Jesus. The apostles were very imperfect people too. In actuality, the only perfect person that's ever lived is Jesus. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now it's kind of interesting here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our responsibility to share the gospel is the whole world. Really. And if churches, you know, for a very long time, America has done a wonderful job of sending missionaries and a wonderful job of supporting missionaries. You see, our mission field is the whole world. And if your mission field is smaller than that, your mission field needs to grow a little bit. And say, you know what? Our mission field is to the whole world, including the Muslims. Our mission field are those that worship Buddha. Our mission field are the folks in Africa. Our mission field is not only Clarksburg, not only the state of West Virginia, not only the United States of America, but our mission field is the whole world. You see, folks that aren't from America, they were made in the image of God. You know, folks that don't live in America, who do not have the heritage and the ethnicity that we do, Jesus died on the cross for them. And Jesus' sin debt on the cross paid their way to heaven if they only trust Jesus and put that to their account. 1 John is very clear about that. That Jesus didn't die for just the sins of a few, but for the sins of the whole world. But you see, Jesus was ever aware that wherever he went, he was going to preach the gospel. I need to finish the passage here. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That first step of obedience, baptize them. They got saved. They trust Jesus. Now let's baptize them. And I'd encourage you, if you've not been baptized scripturally by immersion, you need to be. First step of obedience. I don't believe God will ever use you to your full potential if you've never been baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in testimony to the world. It doesn't save you, but let me tell you, it's that first step of obedience. Verse 20, teaching them to observe, notice that, all things. Yeah, kind of emphasis on all tonight, don't you think? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. You know that same word for all is also in that word always. Even unto the end of the world, amen. You see, Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. He tells us in our marching orders called the Great Commission that he's been given all power, that we're to teach all nations all things whatsoever we've been commanded, and he is with us always. In 2024, don't you think it'd be a good thing to kind of keep in your mind that we should be telling people everywhere we go about Jesus? You know, we went through a phase there, you know, that WWJD. It's really a good thought. WWJD. Can someone tell me what WWJD stands for? What would Jesus do? Now, as we take a good look at Jesus, I see right here, what did Jesus do? He proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. We have recorded 3 years of ministry, but it was always on his heart. It ought to always be on our heart. It ought to always be on our mind. You know, we ought to be the kind of people that people say crazy things like that. You know that guy? That guy, he would witness to a possum if it would stay still long enough. I mean, we ought to be so zealous for the Lord. I remember, see, I started at WVU. And for me, that's 3 hours away from my home at the time. I think speed limit's gone up now. You can make it a little faster, but it's 3 hours at the time. I was homesick. Big school coming from a little high school. I went from being a big fish in a little pond to being an itsy-bitsy, little tiny little minnow in a big pond. That didn't work too well for me. I liked the small a little better. So I was there for a year and a half. Then I transferred to West Virginia Tech. I was in petroleum engineering at WVU. I graduated with mechanical engineering at West Virginia Tech. But I say that to say this. When I got up there, they have this thing called orientation. And it was like 2 days of orientation. And you picked, you know, it was a huge school at that point too. I think about the same size it is now, maybe a little smaller at that time. But you picked the days of orientation. And I remember I went up with my mom and dad and we went to orientation. You know, and I was all fired up for Jesus, and I went to, they had what they used to call the Sunken Gardens, and they had a big chicken barbecue thing, and you know, all the prospective freshmen or freshmen that were coming in that were at orientation, they threw a kind of a great big picnic type of meal, and man, at that time, I think they've since raised the drinking age up to 21, but at that point, it was younger, and I'm telling you, all kind of people drinking. And I'm like, what in the world have I got myself into up here? And I was really blah. I mean, the next day, I'm like, my goodness. You know, these people, a bunch of heathens. It's not like I was looking down my nose at them. I'm like, wow, these people are drinking and all kind of stuff like that. It's not that I wasn't familiar with alcohol. I know it was in my family, my siblings and all. I get it. But it was like, wow. And then I resolved after that disappointing, blah type of thing. You know what? I'm going to witness to everybody I see at WVU. And I did real good for a little while. I mean, in these lines, you know, WVU school at that point, it was like line after line after line. You know, you were in a line to rent a refrigerator. You were in a line to sign up for classes. You were in a line to get a parking permit or whatever. I don't think I had a car at that point. But you get the point. It was line after line. And I remember, you know, talking to people, and I'd get around to Jesus. You know, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Have you ever trusted? You know, and guess what? There was a Christian, a professing Christian, who I run across, and I talked to some and got to have a little bit. It seemed like our tennis was our common thing. I played high school tennis. He played high school tennis. He was a lot better than I was. He played for a bigger school in West Virginia. And I talked to him, and you know what he said to me? He said, "You know what? I'm just not sure that God wants us to witness to everybody. You know, I think that you just kind of need to, you know, wait and make sure that God is telling you to speak to people." Now, I don't disagree with him that we need to listen closely to what God tells us to do. But that just threw water all over my good intentions of sharing the gospel with everyone. Can I tell you that God wants us to share the gospel everywhere we go? And there's so many tools of the devil that he uses to discourage us from doing that. And I really think, and I'm not overly being critical of that person. I mean, they're entitled to their view. I think they were wrong. But I think the devil used those comments to just kind of discourage me a little bit. Say, okay, well, I should have just been smart enough. I was young and dumb, I guess. I should have been smart enough to say, no, I'm going to keep on. And I did witness to some people, and I did have an opportunity to lead some to the Lord. But I believe that the Lord, now we're looking at a close look at Jesus here. I believe that he shared the gospel wherever he went. He taught them and he preached. Don't let that word preached scare you. Proclaimed to the people. If we got a hold of that, and tomorrow, as we went to the workplace, as we went to the store, as we go to the bank, and to make an intentional effort to share the gospel with the people around us, I believe we'd start be making an impact in this wicked old world that we live in. Do y'all think so? A good look at Jesus for 2024. Number one, Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. I started this thought earlier, but the devil will do all he can to discourage you. And he'll put a fear in you. And I've kind of learned some of his tricks. I mean, what's the worst thing that someone can do to you? The worst thing. Now keep in mind what Jesus did for us, right? Jesus went all the way to the cross and died the most horrific death of any man ever because he bore the sins of the whole world, that guilt and that shame. And his father even had to turn his back on him for a moment because it was so black and so dark. Now, he went through all that, and you know what the devil does? What devil whispers in her ear and says, "Psst, you know, they might be mean to you. The worst thing they can do to you, I guess, would be shoot you." Okay? Graduation day, you're with Jesus. You just got there a little sooner. But typically, the things we've encountered, someone might be a little bit negative and say something like this: "Well, you can just keep your gospel and your Bible to yourself." I mean, if that's the worst thing that happened, Jesus went to the cross for me. Can I not step out in a little bit of faith and say, "God"? And the devil wants to amplify that and magnify that to the point that we're almost paralyzed by fear. And can I tell you that most people, at least most people that I've encountered, most people, even in West Virginia, I'm saying most people will not be mean and ugly to you. I mean, the ones that have really been mean and ugly to me, I could probably count on one or two hands. But the devil makes us think, "Oh, the world's going to end. They're going to be so mean." And most of them, even if they don't agree with you, are somewhat kind. And they may say, "You know, I just don't believe that stuff." But you've spoke up for Jesus. You have shared the gospel. You have done your part. And I know we don't like anything negative, and I know we don't want people to say no to us at all, but really they're saying no to Jesus. They're not saying no to you. They're saying no to the God of the universe. They're not saying no to you. If we get a hold of this in 2024, let me tell you, we can see souls saved because there's not a whole lot of people sharing the gospel. But you have the opportunity. I mean, what if they call you a name? What if they shun you from now on? They shunned Jesus. They called him a glutton and a wine bibber because he spent time with lost people. Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. Number two, and last point. Don't don't say that often. Number two, the last point. Jesus had and has the power to fix all things. Jesus had and has the power to fix all things. If you look at verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Wow. It says the word got out even into Syria, which is north of Galilee. They got word and they started bringing all these sick people to Jesus. Then it says, they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, various diseases, a variety of diseases, and torments, pain. These folks were in pain. They had physical pain and they brought them to Jesus. And it says, those which were possessed with devils. Do you realize that there's nothing in my Bible that indicates that demon possession ended? I believe that people can still be demon possessed. I don't believe a Christian can be demon possessed. I've talked to Christians, I mean even like leaders, missionaries, that one in particular I can think of, good man, good solid man, but he believed that demons could be possessed. I don't believe so. I believe it's already been claimed as God's territory. The devil can influence us but cannot possess us. But I believe a lot of times when these people do these mass shootings and do this weird stuff, and we're like, how in the world? I believe they're demon possessed. And so much of stuff you can get into, don't ever as a Christian expose yourself to things of the devil. I mean, when you do that, you're just asking for trouble. Really, you're asking for more influence. I mean, there's all kind of stuff, amusements and games you can play that reflect the dark side. There's movies that have hit the best movies and, you know, the most grossing movies as far as the amount of money that they made, the Harry Potter series and things like that. You say, oh, I enjoyed that. Well, just think about it. Just think about it. I know we Christians don't like to think, but just think about this for a moment. Are we children of light or children of darkness? We're children of light. What's Harry Potter? He's a child of darkness. Why in the world would we amuse ourselves with that? And I'm saying while we're doing that type of amusements, we're messing with horoscopes and Ouija boards and psychics, and some Christians are doing that. You're just asking for trouble. That's not our team, okay? We're on the other side. We're light, not darkness. Y'all agree with that? Got kind of quiet in here. We have to make sure that we teach our kids, and in many cases for y'all, your grandkids and your great-grandkids. Now, someone who's lost messes in a lot of these demonic games and demonic movies and different things like that, they're opening themselves up to demon possession. Now, you don't want that. But guess what? Jesus fixed it. These folks that were possessed with demons, Jesus healed them, cast the demons out. It goes on, divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic. Now, the indication that I get as I look this up, because I'm looking at it, okay, what are you talking about, lunatic? It's speaking probably of folks with seizures. Seizures. You know, people like with epileptic seizures and things like that. And guess what? Jesus healed them. And it says with palsy. That's people that's paralyzed or couldn't walk. And it says in verse 24 very clearly, and he healed them. Wow. That sounds like a powerful Jesus to me. It says in verse 25, as a result of that, there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. Remember that region? From Decapolis, that actually literally is 10 cities. It's an area east and south of the Sea of Galilee. It says, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, two different regions there, or from city, then a region. And then it says, and from beyond Jordan, which would be the west side of the Jordan River. In other words, a bunch of people were following Jesus because he could fix things. He you've heard the expression jack of all trades, but master of none. Can I say that Jesus was the jack of all trades and master of all? He was fixing all. And I'm not supposing or proposing to you that we have the power in ourselves to heal problems or to heal diseases. We don't. But I know someone that does. Do you think there's people around us that need the power of Jesus to fix things in their life? I mean, there's illnesses out there. I mean, golly goodness, we're going to run out of letters. I mean, we got RSV and COVID, and we got all, you know, all these letters and all these little, we got the flu virus, and we got type A and type B, you know. We got cancer. We got all of these different ailments that people suffer with and struggle with. And I'm not telling you that God's going to use some man, some charlatan on television that's trying to get more and more money to bonk you on the head to heal you. But let me tell you, I know a Savior that can heal you. Amen. Don't you think that'd be pretty good stuff to share out there? Mm-hmm. That Jesus has all power. He can do anything. He can fix things. What about relationships? You ever had a relationship problemo? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have problem relationships at some point, probably, right? Can I tell you that Jesus can fix that relationship? Can I tell you that Jesus can fix that problem you have with Junior? Can I tell you that Jesus can fix any spiritual problem you have? Any material problem you have, any physical problem you have, any emotional problem you have, I serve a Jesus who can fix anything. He has the power to fix all things. I don't know about you, but I think we ought to be telling some people around us about that. I almost think it's a little bit selfish for us to know Jesus as our Savior and know the gospel and how to be saved. And know that this Jesus can fix. Man, there's a bunch of problems. Some of them, some of them are so bad, I don't even want to hear them. You know what I mean? It's like, man, that's wicked and evil. And you hear things, and I'm like, man, just shut that off. I mean, I was listening to the Clarksburg News one day. Actually, Joe was listening to it, and I was happened to be in the area. And it's amazing. You know, they showed this mugshot of this guy, and he's done this and this and this. I'm like, good night. I don't even want to hear that wicked and evilness. But can I tell you, Jesus can fix it. I mean, we're doing the lost people around us and the world around us a disfavor, a disservice by not saying, guess what? Jesus can fix it. First get saved. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Because the Jesus, as I look close at him in this story, guess what? He proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. And he fixed all things. I'm thankful that I have that kind of Savior. Aren't you? A good look at Jesus for 2024. Now, let me tell you, give you a little bit of advice. Don't look too close at me. And definitely don't use a flashlight. You're going to see a lot of flaws. And the truth is, you're going to see a lot of physical flaws on a lot of people, and they're going to come. If you don't have any yet, they're coming. But you know, the brighter we shine the spotlight on Jesus, the more perfect he is. I mean, it doesn't affect God's perfection, but it shows to me how perfect he really is. He's a good God. He's a good Savior. Tonight, these three verses. Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. You know, if our goal, and it's been prearranged by God, and his plan for us, if you will, as Christians, is to be more and more like Jesus, more and more in the image of Jesus, one thing we ought to be doing is sharing the gospel everywhere we go. You say, preacher, 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 you just don't know. You just don't know where I work, or you just don't know my neighbors, or you just don't know my family. And you're absolutely right. And I'm not saying it'll be easy, but let me tell you, if even a group like this would say, you know what, I'm going to do my best to share the gospel wherever I go. I may not have long. I may have to share the gospel by giving them a gospel tract there in the back. About the love. I'm telling you, we got gospel tracts. Easiest thing in the world to give out. And I need to do better, and probably most of us need to do better at giving those things out. It says God's love on it. There says love. Then it talks about God's love on the back. All you got to say, and we've hardly had anybody look, even the sour. We've had some people light up like, I had one guy today I gave one to. I said, I just want to remind you of God's love. Now, I gave him a Hope in Darkness tract because that's all I had in the door of the car right then. I thought I had some loved ones, but I did. And I just handed it to him. Smiled real big. Thank you. I mean, like I said, I can't exactly go through the Romans Road with someone in the drive-thru. The people behind me would probably start honking their horns and say, meep, 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 I want my Big Mac. Get out of the way. But real quick, I could give him a gospel tract. We need to share the gospel with everyone, everywhere we go. I think we could see some real changes in 2024. I really think if we get a hold of this, we could see some of these empty seats filled up with people that trust Jesus as their Savior. Not seen it often. But you know the best way to grow a church? The best way to grow a church? And we've been praying for growth, right? And that speaks of, and I've seen signs of maturity. I mean, not that you're not, but I'm just, some people seem to be stepping up, and I'm like, praise the Lord. You know, we want to increase in maturity. We want to increase in number, but I'm not seeing it often, but I have seen places, one place in particular, it seemed like every Sunday this one guy had someone he brought to church who he'd led to the Lord that week. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, just think about that. If we count 10 even, we have 17. And if every one of us would go out and share the gospel everywhere we went, guess what? We could have 17 new people. You say, preacher, doesn't work that way. Well, may not, but let's try. And then if you worked the next week, now we're up to 34 on Sunday night because you led 17 to the Lord between now and next Sunday night. And then that 34, including you, go back out and win another one. We're up to 68 on Sunday night because we had all these people we shared the gospel, and some of them needed to hear that Jesus can fix my problem, and he fixed the heart problem first, and they got saved, and then they come to church. Wow. I mean, you can do the math. We're up to 68, and then after that, 136, is that right? And then you double that. I mean, and seriously, that's the way churches are supposed to grow. That's what we're supposed to do. But I can tell you, you may be sitting there and say, I agree with that preacher. Are you going to do it? Jesus proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went. I hope that we are challenged in that area tonight. And then in 2024, we get a hold of that and we do it. I think God could do some amazing things, really. And they need to hear it. Point number two tonight that we covered, Jesus had and has the power to fix all things. You know, there's a lot of people in here that need a lot of things fixed in our lives, right? Good news is your Savior can fix it. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need a lot of things fixed in their lives. Again, how selfish is it for us to know the one who can fix the things in their life and not share that with the people around us? We need to look at it like we're doing people that we witness to a favor by witnessing to them about Jesus and sharing the gospel, because we are. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you, has God spoke to your heart tonight about sharing the gospel everywhere? Sharing the gospel everywhere. Has God spoke to your heart tonight about sharing the gospel everywhere? God has spoke to your heart tonight, and Lord helping you, you're going to try to do a better job of sharing the gospel everywhere that you go. You're going to try to do better. God helping you. You won't be a perfect witness. None of us are. But God has spoke to your heart to the point that you say, you know what, I'm going to do my best. God help me to share the gospel everywhere I go. Would you raise your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. God will bless you for that effort and that decision. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these three verses that you brought before me and said, you know, don't skip them, just preach them. We thank you that as we look closer and closer at your Son Jesus, Lord, we just see his perfection even brighter and brighter. And Lord, tonight as we looked at Jesus shared or proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went, give us strength, give us wisdom. And Lord, probably before you even get to the door, the hands that were raised, the devil will start whispering in her ear, you can't do that, and you don't want to hear that, and you got other important things to do, and you don't have time. But Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, you'll just silence that old devil's voice, and Lord, help us to do our best to share the gospel everywhere we go in 2024. Because Lord, there's a lot of things we'd need fixed in our hearts and lives. And Lord, in the lives of those that are lost. And Lord, the only way they're going to get that fixed is not going to be through some group, some organization, or some addiction meeting. It's going to be through Jesus. And Lord, help us, really out of compassion and love for people, to share the gospel everywhere we go so that you can fix, first of all, their heart and life and forgive their sins and salvation and fix their life and their problems. Lord, may we have a greater resolve to do that than ever before. And Lord, if there's anyone listening tonight, either here tonight or listening to the Facebook live stream that's never trusted Jesus, Lord, I pray that they'll realize that Jesus can fix them. Jesus can fix the problem. And Lord, they'll start out by calling out to Jesus and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm a sinner. Wipe that sin clean because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I believe that Jesus was your Son that died upon the cross. Lord, I confess Jesus as my Savior. Lord, I pray that they'll call out to you even now from their heart. And Lord, truly, truly be saved. Truly be born again. Lord, we love and thank you. We commit this time to you now. We call the invitation time in Jesus' name.